Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Full Press NHL Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger. I'm joined by Fox NHL analyst Bruce Zeman to discuss everything that's happening in the NHL. A lot of big trades. It feels like the trade deadline's here, but it's only February. I know March 3rd is a Friday, but it feels like we're at NHL trade deadline day. But Bruce, thanks for coming back to the show.
Jimmy, thanks for having me. It has been an exciting couple of days, especially for folks who are Devils fans.
Absolutely. And the big news of the weekend, Timo Meier has been officially traded to the New Jersey Devils. It's a big package, 9-player deal that sees Andreas Janssen, Fabian Zetterlund, Nikita Ohotyuk, Shakir Mohamedoulin, a 2023 first-round pick, a 2024 conditional first-round pick, and several other players traded. And the Devils get their man from the beginning.
Yeah, they get the guy that they've been rumored to have been after for months. They also got Scott Harrington in the deal, who's a depth defenseman, and a couple of other picks and everything like that. This is no surprise that it happened. I think it's a surprise to everybody that it took this long, though.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the announcement probably a little bit before 5 o'clock on Sunday night, but then there was a little bit of delay, and we really didn't get the full trade until around 8 o'clock on Sunday evening when all the pieces and everything started to trickle in. And surprisingly enough, Alexander Holtz, Simone Nemec, Luke Hughes, guys like that are not a part of this deal. And you have to say that's an A-plus for Tom Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I've been critical of him in the past. However, I think he hit a home run with this one. Little asterisk next to that one. You know, there's a caveat in this that an extension was not part of the deal, although I've been told today that Meyer's representatives and the Devils did talk about what an extension might be like. I don't think you make a deal like that without some understanding that there is going to be a deal. So it is a home run for the Devils, and one has to wonder if they're actually done yet.
Yeah, you have to wonder. I mean, Meyer is a great addition to this team. You know, it made sense from the beginning. It was a perfect fit. Obviously, we know the Swiss connection with Nico Hischier, Jonas Siegenthaler on the Swiss national team. And the fact that they bring in a power forward, you know, we haven't really seen too many power forwards in the National Hockey League recently. This guy reminds me, oh, by the way, of his agent, who was kind of a power forward when he played for the New Jersey Devils and Claude Lemieux. So the fit makes sense. And, you know, he can slot with Hischier, he can slot with Jack Hughes. They needed a top six winger from the start, and that's what Fitzgerald addressed.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head, Jimmy. I mean, the Islanders got Bo Horvat, the Rangers got Tarasenko, and everybody was asking what the Devils were going to do. I think they got the golden jewel, if you will, of the trade market in getting Meyer. He's in his prime. He's a power forward. And again, if they can lock him up, he's right now playing with two of the best players in the world, or he will be playing with two of the best players in the world, and Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes. I think he's only going to make them better by creating more space. It's a big deal. And again, my only concern, and I've been told that they were working on this already, is if you can sign him long term, then it is a home run.
Do you have an idea of what the parameters of a deal or a number would look like for an extension?
Yeah, it's interesting you asked me that, because I was making some calls this morning knowing that we're going to do this afternoon. And the Devils had come in with an offer to his representatives of about $8 million a year. From what I've heard, Meyer was looking for $9 million a year. And I know this is going to sound crazy to the average folks, especially people like you and I, but $1 million, when you're talking about a big contract like that, that's not a big difference. It's not a huge gap. He is looking for an 8-year deal, and the Devils are one of the few teams in the league that can afford that, because remember, there is that qualifying offer. So I'm hearing $9 million, and I think the Devils will go 8 years, $9 million.
Do you think they try to keep him at 8 if they can get him there to be on par with Jack Hughes and keep that tier structure that they want to have inside the organization?
You know, it's, again, another interesting question. So we're going to get more of this later about something I think the team needs to do. And we've touched on this before. You know, I was watching the game the other night with the celebration of the 2003 championship team. All right. 20 years. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years since they hoisted the trophy against Anaheim. However, watching that celebration, the guy that was in the middle of that celebration that wore the big C, number 4, okay, Scott Stevens, we'll get to this later. But again, I think this is a case where either someone like himself or Mr. Brodeur have a conversation with Mr. Meyer and walk him through the Prudential Arena and say, I want you to look at these banners. And I want you to look at all these championship, you know, banners and retired numbers. Your number can be up there. So it's a question of, and he met the media. I believe it was last night he met the media. And he said, one of the things that he said that I liked a lot was that he wants to win. Well, if you want to win, you're in the right spot. And just the question is he going to work with them to come up with a salary structure that will allow them to keep the team together? I mean, you know, I don't know. I've never had anybody negotiate a deal like that for me. So I don't know if I can say what exactly he's thinking, but the difference between 8 and 9 million is not a ton of money, although that sounds crazy that I'm saying that. But again, at the end of your career, do you want to have, you know, a couple extra $1 million, or do you want to have some rings? Personally, I'd rather have the rings.
Yeah, I personally would rather have the rings too. Again, we've seen it, as you mentioned, the 20-year anniversary of the 2003 Stanley Cup happened over the weekend. And I agree. You know, that team, not too many guys made a lot of money on that team. I think Brodeur and Elias were probably the top two guys on that team that had, for money-wise. I mean, I know Lou probably didn't want to go over those guys in structure. I mean, we've seen it with Toronto and other teams around the league. You can't have guys making 10 plus million and win a Stanley Cup. It just doesn't happen. So if you can keep your guys under 10 million, I think that's a win. I think that's what Tampa's done with their guys. They've kept it under 10 and they've won with Kucherov and Point and all those guys at 9 million with Stamkos at 9 million. So if you have to go above Hughes, I don't see it being a problem. I think Hughes is the level for how good he is and why they drafted him. And you could see it this year.
Well, again, and I think it's a conversation you have to have, and they probably had internally, you know, letting them know what you can and can't do. I know it said that an extension was not part of this deal, but I can't see making a trade like this unless there's some sense of agreement that you'll get to that at some point. I mean, again, I think you're right. Jack Hughes is probably the jewel in that salary structure. They're probably not going to want to go above that. But again, you know, he's in his prime. Timo's in his prime. Do you want the opportunity to play with the two of the best players in the world and do something? I mean, San Jose traded him. They haven't really done anything in the last couple of years. And he said he wants to win. Well, you know, I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. The Devils have the money. They've got the money to meet him at a certain level. But again, when I go into the Prudential Arena and I look up at the ceiling like you do a lot and like look at behind you at all those banners there, nobody has any idea what Scott Niedermeyer made in, you know, 1996, but they do remember that they won the championship in 1995. So again, I think it's what's important to him. He said he wants to win. He said the right things in the media availability, and we'll see. I mean, he's got a pretty tough negotiator as his agent, but you know, Pepe knows a lot about this team, and I think, you know, they'll find a way to make it work.
So do I. I think they'll find a way to make it work. And I agree. You don't make this kind of a deal. You don't give up the prospects that you give up, the players you give up, if you know an extension is not going to be down the road. And maybe it gets announced on trade deadline day. We don't know. Maybe they can hammer out a week this week and announce the extension. Tom Fitzgerald does have work. You know, obviously, Timo Meyer's not the only guy that needs an extension. Jesper Bratt needs an extension as well. You know, do they re-sign Ryan Graves? They do have a lot of money coming off the books in the summer, so they'll be able to get both players fitting in the salary cap. It's not going to be an issue. I think, you know, Bratt's probably going to be the low man on this totem pole because, you know, I don't see him getting more than Nico Hischier makes. I just don't see it. But again, you never know. Negotiations can go either way, and depending on where Tom Fitzgerald sees him. But the Devils do have work, and they still have more work this trade deadline as well.
Yeah, they do. And one of the things that I found kind of interesting when we were talking about some of the Devils' needs and what they were going to do, there were some rumblings, which turned out to be unfounded, that Akira Schmid was going to be included in this package. There was also rumblings about Dawson Mercer, who I would not have given up. But again, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood, what are we doing with him? Is he your 1B goaltender? Is he consistently going to be hurt? And not a criticism of him, but what are you doing with that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Because I heard that maybe Reimer was coming back in this package as well, potentially a goaltender. Now, they could still go out and get him. They could still go out and get a goalie, but the goalie market's kind of thin. Schmid and Vanacek right now seem to be working well. I mean, Schmid looked great against Philadelphia, but Philadelphia is at the bottom of the barrel. But I do agree they need some needs there in goaltending. I think maybe on defense too, but you got that with Scott Harrington. You can move him up and down if you need to. You've mentioned this so many times on this podcast, on this show, the need for sandpaper and grit. Obviously, we saw Sam Lafferty go to Toronto along with Jake McCabe in a big trade today, which we'll get to in a little bit. That leaves Max Domi as a guy potentially that could still come here. We saw Ivan Barbashev go to Vegas. What are some other players that you think could fit this Devils team that have that grit and sandpaper?
Well, Max Domi was the big one. One of the other names that I was hearing over the last couple of days was Sam Reinhart, who was with the Panthers. And you know, some of the other ones that you had mentioned were ones that I had thought about. You know, it really remains to be seen. And this is, again, something the Devils, excuse me, might be addressing. You know, do they have anyone internally that they can bring up that can fill that position? I'm not sure that they do, or else I think they probably would have done that already. Because as you know, we've talked about this before, there are some other players that they're going to bring up at the end of the year to see what they can do. You know, to me, if I'm looking to do something right now, I think Meyer addresses the need for a big power forward. He can play a physical game. But I like Domi. I've always liked Domi, and I think he would bring some sandpaper. I'm just going to throw out another name here that I've always liked. I think I may have even mentioned this before. Another player that I think would be a really good fit for this team, given the fact that there's some veterans, you've got some younger players. I've always thought that Milan Lucic would be a good fit for this team.
Yeah, I think that's a great fit, too. I think he has playoff experience. Again, Fitzgerald mentioned that, too, when he brings in Meyer. I know Meyer doesn't have too much playoff experience, but he does have playoff experience with the Sharks. You know, you want to bring in those guys that have been there, been in the trenches. Maybe Calgary eats some salary, you know, retains some salary like we saw in the Meyer deal. I could see that. You know, obviously Tanner Janot goes to Tampa Bay. What a haul that was. But, you know, that would have been another guy I would have liked. Again, who do they have internally? I don't really think they have that guy. And I think you maybe be able to move a guy like Miles Wood in a package because, let's be honest, like Mackenzie Blackwood, I think Miles Wood's days are numbered in New Jersey.
Well, you know, again, Lucic is certainly not the player that he once was, but also he brings an enormous amount of grit, and he's not fun to play against. You know, if you get in your goalie's way, he's going to bring the lumber. And that's not something the Devils have really had in a long time. It's funny, they haven't really had that. You know, Miles Wood brought that a little bit, but I never agreed with the decision to move Wayne Simmonds a couple of years back. I liked what he brought to the Devils lineup, and they don't really have that right now.
No, they don't. I mean, they had that with Patty Maroon when the year they went to the playoffs. Wayne Simmonds is a guy definitely that has that size and speed. You know, you look over at Arizona, maybe you get a guy like maybe a Nick Bjugstad, Nick Schmaltz, a Richie type player. Any chance, you know, again, his name's out there. We don't know where he's going to go. He's getting interest, bringing back Rico, Adam Henrique, to the New Jersey Devils for some depth.
Yeah, I would love to do that. It's just a question of where he's going to play.
Right.
You know, because the Devils do have a number of other young players that they're trying to give that ice time to. I would love to see him come back. I just don't know that he would be able to get the ice time because I don't think at this point the Devils are going to take valuable ice time away from some of the youngsters, but he would certainly be a good fit on the third or fourth line.
Yeah, I mean, just his playoff experience alone during that cup run in 2012, he's been there. He knows what it takes. But I think the Devils are definitely going to do another move. I think you and I have talked about it. You know, I could definitely see them adding a depth piece, bottom six guy, because I think that they definitely need that. It's a need they need have. And when you get in the playoffs, you need to have that size, that grit, that sandpaper, especially on your bottom six. We see it. Look at the lineup Toronto is going to throw out there in the playoffs against Tampa. I mean, the East right now is a war. It's a gauntlet. And the Devils, Maple Leafs, Lightning, Rangers, Islanders are all getting ahead of it, even Boston.
Well, I think that the Eastern Conference Championship is going to run through Boston, right? And you're going to have to see how you match up against them. I mean, they do not have a lot of weaknesses. I think they've lost 8 games all year. Although if you look at how the Devils, they really gave took the Flyers to the woodshed the other night. And, you know, if you have a couple more games like that, that'd be great. But, you know, again, I guess they're going to have to see how they measure up against some of these other teams, because as you mentioned, Jim, all these teams are looking to get better. All these teams are making moves, and, you've got a lot of the Devils, you know, longtime rivals that are also looking to do big things come to playoffs. I mean, the Rangers have done some great things too this year, and it's going to be interesting to see, because I have a feeling if New Jersey and the Rangers meet the playoffs, it's going to be some pleasantries exchanged.
Definitely some pleasantries exchanged for sure. I mean, look, the Rangers have already done the Vladimir Tarasenko deal. They got Nico Mikkola as part of it. They got Tyler Mott. They're looking to add Patrick Kane. I mean, look, we know the Kane sweepstakes is probably just down to the Rangers, even though they say several other teams are involved, like we saw with New Jersey. I think it was New Jersey and Vegas. I don't think Carolina had the assets. I don't think Vegas had the assets. I think it was New Jersey, and that's the package they got. Same with the Blackhawks. I think it's the Rangers, and I don't think there's anybody else, because I think Kane wants to play with Panarin.
Well, again, you know, what will that bring to the Rangers? That'll certainly bring a lot of playoff experience. It'll bring a lot of salary. And again, is that a question of is he a rental? Or is that something where he's going to sign for a couple of years? He's not a spring chicken anymore either.
No, he's not. And he's got a little bit of an injury that he's dealing with, even though he's been hot recently.
Yeah.
He's showing people, hey, that hip issue that he has is maybe not be there. But again, that's what happens when a player gets rejuvenated, potentially change of scenery. Talking about change of scenery, we stick with the Blackhawks. Earlier today, before we came on, Toronto making another trade. They already added Ryan O'Reilly. They added Nolan Chari from St. Louis. Well, today they get a defenseman in Jake McCabe and a nice little bottom six forward in Sam Lafferty. The two additions in the trades they've made for Chari and Lafferty will pay dividends for this Toronto Maple Leafs team come playoff time.
Well, you're right. I mean, Toronto is one of the teams that we've talked about earlier this year on this show that really needs to do something in the postseason. They've got a certain window, and you know they're right in the middle of that window right now, but they've got Tavares, they've got all, you know, they got Matthews, they got all these other great players and everything. They haven't gotten to the first round in years. And so I think they're making these moves because they need to make that happen. And again, the whole Eastern Conference, as you said a moment ago, is going to be an absolute battle as to see who comes out of that. The only issue with that is I think unless it's Boston, who right now, even though I'm a big Devils fan, I think Boston is probably the team to beat. I think whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference is going to be pretty banged up.
So you mentioned Boston. Two things for you. The move by Toronto today, was that reactionary to what we saw by Tampa last night, picking up Tanner Janot? And two, what's the chatter up there in regards to the Bruins and the moves that they got to pick up Dmitry Orlov and Garnet Hathaway?
Well, I don't think it's reactionary. I think that most people, like we just spoke about a few minutes ago, I think most people realize that Boston is probably the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I mean, that's why you play these series, though. I mean, and anything can happen in a seven-game series. You and I have seen that where, I mean, you look back at 1995 when the Devils played the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Final. Devils weren't even given a chance, and we know what happened there. So that's why you play these series. I think all those teams, I think Tampa Bay is probably a little bit disappointed as to where they are this season. You know, they've been kind of the cream of the crop the last couple of years, and they haven't really meshed it this year. I don't know if it's a reactionary move for what the Maple Leafs are doing. I think it's more of a case of them just trying, for the Maple Leafs anyway, to get out of the first round. I think they really need to do that for not just the players, but for their entire management team. I mean, one of the things that we've been hearing up here in New England is that if there's not a significant playoff run in Toronto, this is going to be a house cleaning.
So, yeah, so that would have been my follow-up then, which you just answered, is with Kyle Dubas in the last year of his contract, obviously he hasn't got a contract extension yet. These moves are saying, hey, we're putting all the chips in, we're going all in. We need to make a deep playoff run. Adding a guy like O'Reilly, adding a guy like Achari, McCabe, and Lafferty shores up a lot of weaknesses for this Toronto team, especially what we've seen over the last couple of years in the playoffs.
I think it's a mistake to not have given a Dubas a contract extension, although there was rumblings even earlier in the season that he wanted out. Now, I don't know if that's whether because he wasn't getting along with Brendan Shanahan or some of the other brass there, but there was rumblings that he was going to leave to take on another role anyway. But I think even if this doesn't work out, I don't think anybody can criticize him for not doing anything, right? I mean, he's done, he's brought in, and at some point, although we don't like to admit it sometimes as players, you know, Kyle Dubas is not going to be on the ice. It's going to be the players and, you know, Tavares and Matthews, they got to deliver. They got to get, you know, those are your big stars. Those are the guys who are getting paid the eight figures, all right? They got to get you out of the first round. Now, to get back to your other question, which I apologize for not answering, you know, the rumblings about what the Bruins are doing. You know, the big thing, first of all, it was amazing the other night that Linus Ullmark scored that goal.
What a goal. That was great. Shades of Martin Brodeur.
It absolutely was. It's the first thing I thought. You know, there's rumblings that the Bruins are still involved in the Chychrun sweepstakes if they're going to add somebody else. You know, I think Don Sweeney doesn't have much to tinker with. They've lost 8 games all season. You know, so, but I mean, if you could add a player of Chychrun's caliber, I think that you do that. And I think that, you know, again, we've still got, what, 25, 26 games. Just hope that nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, those are great moves that Boston made the other day, getting Orlov and Hathaway. Both guys are Bruin type players. I mean, Orlov goes right into the top four. Hathaway's a perfect bottom six guy. Go right next to Nick Foligno. I mean, you couldn't ask for better players to come into the organization.
No, and you know, they are built for the playoffs. Their window is closing. They are all in the next year or so, but they've got issues that they're going to come up, you know, against after this season over. They've got cap issues. They've got to decide if they're going to re-sign certain players. They are all in, and as we've alluded to a bunch of other times this season, going to be a tough sell in Beantown if they don't win the Cup this year.
Yeah, to me, it's Cup or bust. I mean, the historic season continues for the Boston Bruins. Obviously, we mentioned the goalie goal by Linus Ullmark. I mean, everything is falling for the Boston Bruins this year, and I agree. If they don't win the Stanley Cup, it's a bust for them.
Yeah, it's a bust, but again, you know, you have injuries, and there's a lot of other things. You know, again, the reason that you have the playoffs is so you can see who's going to duke it out. You know, I think it's going to be an entertaining series. Any of the, even if, you know, the opening round series in the Eastern Conference are going to be fantastic because all these teams are they're built for the playoffs. All of them are, for the most part, they're making improvements. And I think we're going to have some pretty high emotion playoff series this year. Should be a good time.
Yeah, it should be a really good time in the East. I mean, it's going to be a gauntlet, whoever comes out of it. I mean, look, the Islanders, obviously, they made the move for Horvat. I don't think they're done. I think when Lou has a team in position like he does right now, I think he's going to look to buy. I don't think they're going to sell off players that potentially could be, you know, fits for other teams. Why sell now when you're right in the mix? Maybe a guy like Adam Henrique goes there if he doesn't go to the Devils because he's a Lou guy and he brings him in, get Anaheim to retain some money. That's a solid move. I mean, again, if the Islanders get in with that goaltending, with that defense, they're going to give a team a trouble.
I don't think there's any gimme series, you know, that you're going to see in the East. I mean, I think all of them are going to be grinding 6-7 game series. And I mean, even the Bruins, who are, you know, on paper are probably the best team in the Eastern Conference. There's going to be some games of attrition in there. And, you know, again, you never know, you know, heaven forbid you have somebody that, you know, blows out a knee or wrecks a shoulder, and, you know, it can change in one play. So that's why we play these things. And, you know, I mean, New Jersey, if you want to be completely candid, is really playing with house money right now. Tom Fitzgerald said the other day they're a year ahead of schedule. Nobody, and I'm about as optimistic a Devils fan as you will find, nobody thought that they were going to be 39, and I think they're 39-15, whatever they are right now. Nobody thought they were going to be like that this good this year.
Nobody. Nobody thought, and that's why they're in the position that they are to be a buyer at the deadline. Most years they've been a seller. This year they're a buyer. And you mentioned it before. How great was it to see number 4, Scott Stevens, back in New Jersey? A guy that really you've been championing. I agree. This guy needs to be a part of this organization some way, somehow.
Well, you know, he was on the ice, and, you know, you never know what happens in the back rooms and everything. But I think the one thing that the Devils have not done, listen, they did it with Marty. All right. He's now, what is he, one of their executive VPs or VP of player, something like that. He's up there.
Assistant general manager now.
Okay. All right. So is the assistant GM. I don't understand. You have to do things the right way. And none of those banners that are up in that arena happened without number 4. I mean, there's a lot of other great players, but he solidified them into a champion. And so I've always felt this, and I've been saying this to you for years. They need to find a way to bring him back, and he either needs to be behind the bench or he needs to be in a very high managerial role, because especially with some of the defensemen that they've got in the system, Luke Hughes, that's a name that we're going to hear about. He needs to be in that organization helping these players. I've told you this many times before. I think Scott Stevens is the greatest defenseman to ever play the game. Some people disagree with me. But again, if you look at one player that is directly responsible for the banners on your ceiling, he's that guy.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Those banners do not happen without Scott Stevens. It's 100%.
And Marty.
Yeah, I mean, Marty was great in between the pipes, but you didn't – that. What he did in those championship runs in 95, 2000, 2003, especially 2003 when he got hit in the ear in game three against Tampa, comes back. I mean, he willed this team in a lot of these series to the next round and to the Stanley Cup.
Well, he did it in 95 against the Red Wings. I mean,
yeah,
that hit
on Kozlov.
I mean, that changed the entire series. It changed the entire series. And, you know, you hear a lot of people say that, you know, you can't play that way anymore. He played the way that the game was played back in the 90s. And that was legal then. And when you hear anybody say, and you've heard this before, that they didn't go to that side of the ice because he was there, that is the impact he played on his franchise. And so, I mean, obviously, you probably can't do a lot of those hits right now, but they were legal back then. I mean, if we're being honest, they were. You somehow have to get him back into this organization, have him, you know, working with the Devils' younger defensemen and imparting his knowledge. I mean, there aren't that many defensemen with that caliber, Hall of Fame defenseman with three rings and all that experience that are out there that you have at your disposal. He shouldn't be in a broadcast booth. He should be in your organization in the building with you.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. Stevens, when he was there, he was great behind the bench. He developed young players. He knows the game. When he was on TV, he showed the weaknesses of this team. Now, if you can bring him back, close the business, apologize, whatever you need to do, get him back in the fold, because the Devils, if they want to take the next step, need a guy like that in the organization.
Well, absolutely. And again, you know, you talked about Meyer in this extension. That's a guy that you have him walk through the building and say, listen, you want your number up there in the Raptors? You know,
yeah.
Sign here. And in your number, you know, we've talked about this before, Jimmy. I thought they made a mistake doing that, you know, with Taylor Hall, you know, who's gone to Boston. He's been okay, but I don't think his number is going to be up in the Boston Garden Raptors anytime soon.
No, it's not. I mean, look, that's how deep the Bruins are when a guy like Taylor Hall is on your third line and he's playing with Charlie Coyle and you don't really hear about him. A guy who was an MVP. Again, you could debate who should have won the MVP that year. If I had a vote, it was going to be Nathan MacKinnon. But again, I'm not in that position. But when an MVP is on your third line and not really talked about, that's saying something. New Jersey has something. They can build something now. They're going for it now, and they're trying to be like Boston, to be a perennial contender and get back to what they were for so many years, winning championships. This is a good first start. They got Dougie Hamilton. They made smart trades. Let's see what else they can do, because I think New Jersey is going to be talked about for a long, long time. And again, I've always said this. It's great what they're doing this year. Follow it up next year.
Well, you know, and it's interesting you mentioned Dougie Hamilton, too, because there's another player we didn't really mention. He's having a Norris caliber year. I mean, he came back from that injury, and it seems like every goal the Devils has, he's involved in.
Yeah, I mean, the Triple H, I call them Hughes, Heischer, and Hamilton. These guys have, every time they're involved in a goal for this team, it's great to see the way this Devils team is playing. Again, regardless of how you feel about the coach, who's behind the bench, how guys were handled, this team is in a position to win right now. And that's something we haven't said in a long, long time.
No, and again, you know, I was not on the rough bandwagon at the beginning of this season, but listen, he proved a lot of analysts, including myself, wrong. I mean, whatever he did this year, it's worked. And so he is a Jack Adams candidate. He deserves all the kudos, because whatever he's done, they're 39-15-5. And if you would have told me that at the beginning of the year, I would have said, you know what, I have a piece of bridge to sell you.
Yeah, I will say I'm a little disappointed that Dawson Mercer didn't get a star this week for the NHL. 6 goals, 1 assist, 7 points. I think he could have found some way to be one of the 3 stars this week.
Well, not only that, but I think he made a pretty big statement also to the organization, maybe not intentionally, but, you know, when you and I were texting back and forth earlier this week, I can't remember what day it was, there were some rumors that Mercer was included in this deal, and people were seriously freaking out about that. But I think that he made a statement that he wants to stay here. And you know what? As a not only as an analyst, but as a longtime fan, players that want to be here, I want them here.
Yeah, I want them here too. Mercer wants to be here. Sounds like Meyer wants to be here. We know Hughes, he sure want to be here. You want guys that want to play for you. That's the culture the Devils had a long, long time ago. They didn't have it for a while. And now you're getting it back. This means the Devils and what Tom Fitzgerald is doing are moving this team back to prominence and being a contender again.
Well, they're relevant again.
Yes, they are. Speaking of relevant, before we end the show today, how about the news coming out of Nashville? Barry Trotz going to be the next general manager of the Nashville Predators as David Poile finally steps down after 26 years.
Yeah, the only GM they've ever had. You know, Barry is the guy knows everything about hockey. Should be interesting how he deals with Lou if he has to have a, you know, discussion with him about some things, because I don't know how warm and fuzzy that relationship is. But he's a hockey guy. He knows everything about, you know, the sport. I think he's going to do a great job down there and help them, you know, try to build a winner.
Yeah, I think it's a great move too. I saw it yesterday and I was like, wow, this thing gets buried on a day of Timo Meier trades and all these trades that are happening. Like I said, off the top, it feels like it's trade center already and it's not even March 3rd yet. But outside of Kane, Chychrun, guys like that, who are some other names you're looking at as we head towards Friday?
Well, I've heard, you know, Max Domi is rumored to be going to a whole bunch of places. Sam Reinhart from the Florida Panthers. You've got, my goodness, you've got literally everybody on the Vancouver Canucks. Brock Besser is rumored to be going to a whole bunch of different teams. And, you know, I think the big trade piece right now, or on the trade board, if you want to call it that, I think is Kane and Chychrun. We'll see where they wind up. I do think that Kane is going to wind up with the Rangers, and I think that Chychrun is going to wind up with the Kings.
I like it. That's a great way to end it, because those are two great predictions. This has been Jim Berenger and the voice of Full Press Hockey here on the Full Press NHL podcast. Fox media analyst Bruce Eamon talking Devils trades of Timo Meier and the rest of the NHL trade deadline. I hope you guys have a good day. Enjoy the show.